Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This morning, I want to take you back in time, back to November 10th, 1483. The Middle Ages are drawing to a close. Richard III is crowned King of England after Edward V, the 12-year-old rightful king, is murdered. The Sistine Chapel opens to the public. And in Eisleben, Germany, a copper miner and his wife give birth to their firstborn son. And they name him Martin. And though while Martin's birth was not a noteworthy historical event, in time this man would open the pages of the Bible and help the church recover its central teaching. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, by Christ alone. When Luther was born, this doctrine was nowhere to be found. And the church was struggling. The Bible was generally not read. And when it was, it wasn't understood. The important doctrines of God's law and gospel had become so mixed up that when Christians wanted forgiveness, they were told to focus on their own good works. But their good works never seemed sufficient, because they weren't, so the people were encouraged with purgatory, saints, indulgences, private masses. All in all, it wasn't very helpful. Now, this may sound like a boring history lesson, but I assure you it's not. It's important history that we need to remember. Remembering is important because it's what ties the church together. It's what ties us believers together with the believers who have come before. We are tied together by remembering the gospel, by remembering the story of Jesus that tells us everything he has done for us. Without the knowledge of Christ's work, there is no faith. Faith can't exist. And so the story of Jesus, which is told by flawed human beings, ties us together. And so we remember another humble man, Luther, and we're remembering him not for his sake, because he's not the point. Rather, we remember Luther because God is faithful, and through Luther, he maintained the church, and he kept the promise that was given to us by Christ himself. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. As we remember Luther, we remember a man who, well, in the beginning was just a boy. He was like us. He had good experiences and bad experiences. He had small events in his life. He had large, extraordinary events. Hopefully, you remember the story of the thunderstorm and how he was scared out of his mind and in his fear called on St. Anne. St. Anne, help me, and I will become a monk. That was an extraordinary event. It was a significant event that sent Luther to the monastery. But what set Luther apart was not attending the monastery. He'd have been like any other monk. But rather, it was his deep love for the gospel, which he discovered later in life. After years of struggling to find righteousness in himself, trying to find forgiveness in himself, the Holy Spirit opened the scriptures to Luther and showed him that the righteousness of God is not something he could earn. But it was, in fact, something that Christ earned for him. He's earned it for all of us by grace. This is truly the good news. It was good news then, and it's good news now. Because the Reformation was, and still is, all about Jesus. And we need Jesus. We need Jesus because we are just like the people of Luther's day. They were raised with ignorance and superstition. They had no knowledge of God's word. And while we have access to God's word more than they did, we have it on our phones, our computers, in our pockets, but nothing's changed. We are still ignorant and superstitious. We deny our sins. We deny our failings. We intentionally forget our sinful pasts. And what we do is we show that we're no different than the people 500 years ago. And this is what Luther saw. And so he sought to reform the church. He didn't want to start a new church. He just wanted to fix the broken one. He wanted to draw it back to the pure gospel of Christ, the grace of God that is there for us in Jesus. And he wanted to gather the church leaders, the political leaders, to get together and to talk about these vital points. This started in Wittenberg, a university town in Germany. And from that little town grew a movement that has always sought to speak the truth of God's word. We are freed from our sins and our guilt solely by the grace of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We receive forgiveness and eternal life simply by believing. As Lutherans, we have a saying, sola gratia, sola fide, sola scriptura, solus Christus. By grace alone, by faith alone, by scripture alone, because of Christ alone. This is our theme, our motto. Because Luther pointed to Jesus Christ alone. We have to look to Christ. Because Paul says in Romans 3 that no one is justified. No one is declared innocent by following the law. So don't look to yourself. Don't look to your works of charity, your love, your church attendance. Don't look at your strong faith as the assurance that you are forgiven. Don't look at your struggling faith as a sign that you are not forgiven. We've all fallen short. We all sin. And when we look to ourselves, there is no comfort. There is no forgiveness. There is only slavery to sin. So look to Christ alone. Look to him because he alone is your source of comfort and hope. See that he has done everything for you. He has kept the law for you. He has earned heaven for you. For you, he turned God's anger away from you and to himself. He has done this for you. Yes, works save. But his works are the ones that save. Jesus, the Son of God, has set you free. And if you are free, you are free indeed. God did incredible work through Martin Luther. The Lutheran reformers often called Luther the third Elijah. He was like the first Elijah because he called people, political and religious leaders, back to God's word. He pointed out their sins and their errors. He called them to repentance, and he never backed down. In 1521, Luther stood before the Holy Roman Emperor Charles V at the Diet of Worms. And as he stood there before the man who would determine whether he lived or died, Luther was told to recant, take back everything you have written. To which Luther replied, unless I am convinced by the scriptures or by clear reason, I am bound by the scriptures. I cannot and I will not retract anything. I cannot do otherwise. Here I stand. May God help me. A bold confession of the truth. The reformers also said that Luther was like the second Elijah, John the Baptist, because Luther didn't point to himself, but rather he said that life was to be one of continual repentance of the Christian. And as we repent, we look not to ourselves, but to Christ. John the Baptist pointed to Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and Luther did the same thing. And we have that same teaching today in the Lutheran Church. It is all about Jesus. It is still and will always be all about Jesus. For many years, the Missouri Synod published a German newspaper. It was called Der Luther Honor. And the theme of the paper was God's word and Luther's doctrine shall endure now and forever. Kind of a bold claim. And it's not a claim, though, that is made because of Luther's intellect or anything like that. It is because what Luther taught is what was found in the scripture. He based everything on the pure word of God. He unburied what had been hidden away, the forgiveness of sins that comes to us through Christ's death and resurrection. This is why we remember Martin Luther today, because God used this humble man from Eisleben, Germany, to shine the gospel once again, to shine it in Germany 500 years ago, and to shine it into our day as well. So it's good to remember Luther. It's even better, though, to remember the one whom Luther always pointed, Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Now the peace which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.